You're listening to the Colorado Springs Real Estate Investing Podcast, brought to you by the Envision Advisors at Your Castle Real Estate.
What's up, everyone? Chris Lopez here, and today we're going to talk about a fourplex that some Denver investors bought down at Colorado Springs. It's a great fourplex, plus there's some upside in rent. And of course, I got my co-host, Jenny Bayless. Jenny, how are you?
Doing good. How about you, Chris?
If you guys can't tell, Jenny's doing good, but she's also losing her voice some.
Yep.
So you may need to turn up the volume a little bit. I'll speak quieter, and I will try to ease the talking off, ease the workload on you, Jenny. But this is a deal where you helped some Denver residents, Denver investors, go out there and buy another rental property. They went down the Springs market, and you and Leah ran the deal. So give us some context on what the buyers wanted and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so this is a really good example of an off-market fourplex. I found it by just speaking with another listing agent. He was listing another fourplex property. I had some buyers that weren't interested in that one. I said, hey, do you happen to have anything else? Yeah, matter of fact, we got this. And then Leah knew that her clients were looking for basically exactly this property. So it worked out really well. So I just put them in contact. They didn't have to fight with 100 other, you know, buyers off of the MLS. So it worked out really well.
Seller just said, listing agent said, hey, the sellers are going to sell this as well.
Yep.
If you can meet these terms, we'll keep it simple and go with it.
Exactly. Yep. That's what he said. It was basically just, hey, he wants $695 for it. And an easy transaction. So I knew that we could provide the easy transaction part. It was just a matter of
Do the numbers work, right?
Do the numbers work. Yep, exactly.
And we will jump on the numbers here in 1 second. But before we do, give us the context, like what the investors on here, what they were, kind of their expectations, what they're looking for, just that general like overview.
Yeah, so they worked with Leah to close a different property earlier this year. And, you know, they got that up and running and they were ready to buy a multifamily. They were, you know, ready to take that leap. I think they were going to use HELOC funds from their primary to reinvest those. And, you know, they let us know, hey, we're looking for our next one. And this one just worked out perfectly for them.
And what type of, like, what were their return expectations?
They are very, very reasonable buyers. They understand that, you know, between a 4.5 to 5 cap is pretty decent in Colorado Springs. And this one in particular, it isn't performing amazingly right now, but there is so much upside. The units are in really great shape. You know, really central part of town. So they know that, hey, if you wait a year, you'll be getting those returns that you're needing.
Good. Yep. So realistic investors and patient investors.
Yes, yes.
I like them.
Yep.
So I want to hear more about the value add you can do on there, but we'll do that as we go through the spreadsheet, talk about some repair costs and, you know, rental stuff. So flipping over the spreadsheet here, we're going to start filling this in with data. And so follow along on the screen or check the show notes, and screenshots will be on there in the blog post as well. So the property address is a fourplex in the Springs. The number of units is 4. And you said the seller wanted $695.
Yes.
So is that?
Yep, they paid $695.
$695 in here. And let's talk about financing, because generally with you know, small multis, 2 to 4 units, residential multifamilies, a 30-year fixed conventional loan is a 25% down payment.
Yep.
Or one go with a local loan, like a First Bank portfolio loan, 20% down, but it's a 5 or 7 year ARM.
Yep.
Very two common ways for people to buy properties. What did this investor do?
25% down, 30-year fixed.
Which I think is a great play in our current interest rate and inflation environment.
Yeah.
What did they get the interest rate at?
3.75%.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
30-year fixed on a multifamily. That's crazy. So right there, just the financing right there. Like you do a great job on.
Yep, exactly.
All right. So $675 purchase price. And then let's go through, as we fill out the rest of these numbers, put the offer in. You guys already kind of agreed on the terms and the pricing.
Yep.
Standard closing time frame, or was it a rush closing, or is he doing a 1031?
The seller is not in a hurry. Again, he was fixated on that price point. And so the buyer said, hey, if you guys can wait for us, we want to do HELOC or cash out. I can't remember which one on their primary. And then we can close after that. So I think it was about a 40 or a 45 day close, which is a little longer than usual mm-hmm. in this market, but I mean, not unreasonable by any stretch. And everyone was fine with that timeline. They understood what was going on. But what
matters is, are the sellers and buyers good with it?
Yep.
That's all that matters.
Yep, exactly.
So that's great. So did that. So, I mean, wrote the offer up, no crazy terms or anything, it sounds like. What was the inspection process like? Give us the inspection. Tell us about the property, kind of giving those details so we can see what it looks like and the value add upside.
So I think the inspection gave Leah probably a few gray hairs. the property was in otherwise very, very good shape, except for one big issue, which was that all four units and the main were Federal Pacific panels.
So, what's that mean for everyone?
So Federal Pacific, they have since been discontinued because they are a health hazard. They have a history of not tripping when they need to, which could therefore cause fires. So, it was a bit of a contentious point.
And there's five panels in here?
There's five, okay. Four subs and one main. The seller's stance was, hey, it's never been an issue. But what we'd like to tell our buyers is, it's never an issue till it is an issue, and then it's a big issue. So, we always recommend replacing them with, decode panels at that point.
So what's the going rate for replacing electrical panels? And because I know, those prices have gone up this year, but I don't know what it's like in the spring.
Yeah. So Leah's quote came back at about 10,000.
Okay. That's what I was expecting.
Yeah, for all that. I think the seller gave them 2,500. So it was just kind of one of those situations where the buyers had a very good long-term perspective of this property. Like, hey, it appraised at 700. So they knew they had a tiny bit of equity going into it. Solid property. They have a very good long-term perspective on that. Hey, it's just, one thing that we need to get fixed. Well, five things that we need to get fixed and just move on with life. So, yep.
And so it sounds like the seller gave him a $2,500 credit.
Yeah.
Okay. So anything else on the inspection on there?
No, everything else came back really well. Yeah.
So I'm going to put $2,500 in the seller credit. At least 10 grand in here for the electrical panels.
And then, total acquisition costs were about 12.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's with just closing costs, points buy down, all that stuff.
Exactly.
And for initial repair costs, really the only thing they had to do was replace the electrical panels.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming as leases end, bump the rents.
Exactly.
Any major updates or work to the units? Any major turn costs?
No. Everything was looking really well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That makes replacing electrical panels an easier pill to swallow.
Yeah. I mean, especially, a lot of things you have to consider, like, hey, market rent is X, but I need to do ABC to the unit to yield that market rate. But in this case, I think that it could yield the market rate as is.
Great.
Yep.
All right. So to recap the numbers here, 605 purchase, appraised at $700,000, about 12,000 acquisition cost, 2,500 seller credits, initial repair cost about $10,000 to replace five electrical panels. So total all investment is just under $200,000, about $195,000. So big investment there.
That's not
a chicken change to sneeze at. So we're going to run through numbers on here. What are the current as-is rents?
So there are two units at $1,039, and there are two units at $975.
$1,039. I'm sure there's story behind them there, how they came up with those rents.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay. So those are the current rents. And I didn't ask you, what are these? Two bedroom, one bath. What's the makeup and the layout of the properties? Up, down, fourplex, townhouse style?
Two up, two down.
Okay.
Two bed, one bath.
brick? What's the...
Oh, I would say some sort of like wood-ish exterior.
Yeah. That seems to be more common in Springs than in Denver, right? Like Denver's a lot of brick, but down there in the Springs, it seems like it's more... not brick? I don't
know. Yeah, stucco or composite or something. I wish we had more brick. I think that it's...
Okay, you know, but that's a general like trend you've seen, right? Okay.
For sure.
vacancy. What would you run vacancy at? I mean...
So we just run at normal 3%. Yeah. I mean, especially at this price point, it's a very in-demand price point. The units are good. It's in a centralized location. I mean, they shouldn't have any issues.
Yeah. And I mean, that's... I mean, you know, you get the data from the apartment associations and they're right around in the 3% range.
Yeah.
And those are the, you know, the big apartments.
Right. Yeah.
Annual rent increase, we'll just keep it 3%.
Yeah.
We'll kind of keep these other variables normal. Property management. So we got investors living in Denver, buying a property an hour-ish south in Springs, self-managing or...
They have hired it out. Yep. They're busy professionals. They just have a long-term outlook on it. Yep.
10%?
10%.
All right. And what would you put away in here for the reserves?
We do 8%.
All right. HOA?
Nope.
No HOA. What are the taxes?
$1,786.
Insurance?
$2,000.
All right. And then what are the utilities and how is the billing of those utilities work?
Yeah. So they are billed 100% back. So I believe that electric is individually metered, you know, as evidenced by the sub panels, right? But water, sewer, and I think there might be gas for this one. Are not, but the owner bills back dollar for dollar. So we just netted it. There's no set rubs. It's just a bill back situation.
So we'll leave these blank in underwriting then?
Yeah.
So whatever, if it's $200 a month, he's going to bill back 50 to each tenant. Is it just pro rata?
Yep, exactly. Okay. So the only thing that we'll want to include is $720 a year for trash. That is not billed back. And then $700 for landscape.
All right.
And snow removal.
There we go.
Yeah.
Got the right numbers in there. All right. So moving over to the cash flow tab on our spreadsheet here. Again, we're showing about $195,000 all-in cash investment with an annual gross rental income of about $48,000 a year. Subtract out the expenses, subtract out the mortgage debt. It's a cash flow of just over $4,000 a year, which is a 2.1% cash-on-cash return, a 4.7% cap rate, and an estimated 20% overall return on the investment.
Yeah.
So, I mean, right in market expectations there.
Yeah.
So, good numbers and, you know, a good investment in the, you know, current market conditions and interest rate environment. But you said there's upside.
Yes.
What is the upside? Because I have a feeling this will make it more exciting.
Yes.
That's what my crystal ball tells me, Jenny.
So, I think very easily they could get $1,100 per unit.
All right. And along the same terms of or utilities and all that as well.
Yep.
And so what's the, are these leases, this will be just in like over the next 12 months as leases turn, either increase your rent or getting tenant in there?
Yeah, I don't know how long of a view they have. You know, I mean, I figure the 1,039 leases, that's, you know, $70. It's pretty substantial, but not outrageous. The ones that are in the 900s, that might take a couple of turnover, you know, lease expirations to get those bumped up.
So when they get that implemented, which should just be general market rent increases, about $7,500 a year in cash flow, about a 4% cash on cash return, and puts a cap rate at 5.2%.
Yep.
Now, of course, a year out from now, those numbers, you know, slightly different. But with the increased rents, and this is how I would like, if there's an easy value and upside on here, which is just increase bump rents as rents have increased on there, that's a very easy no-brainer. Let's underwrite, hang this all in the year. And I would expect those, like, hey, that's how to write the first year returns.
Yeah.
Be a little bit less than that in reality, but that gets you the ballpark for estimating, hey, in longer term, now we're in a, you know, a five cap property, strong cash flow, really good deal.
Yeah.
What else is there to? What's the... Anything we're missing on here?
No. I mean, this is pretty straightforward. you know, other than the electric panels, everything just went absolutely perfectly through the whole transaction. So,
And what's the investor's kind of attitude on this? How, like, on their scale, is this what they're expecting? Better than they're expecting? How
I think it was right in line with what they're hoping for. So hopefully everything remains on track, as, you know, optimistically as we are for that. And, you know, they remain happy with it. I think it's a pretty cool property.
Now, you said 1,100 conservative in rents. I'm going to do one more thing. What do you think is the, you know, optimistic look on rents out there for, like, a, you know, a 2-1?
I think 1,150.
Okay. So, I mean, if we do that, I mean, that's going to bump up rent $200.
I mean, just, yeah, for, you know, scale purposes, I have a 2-bedroom, 1-bath detached home in the area for $1,550.
Okay.
So I think I'm still being conservative.
Yeah. But if you do that, now we're close to $10,000 here in cash flow, close to 5% cash on cash, and about a mid-5 cap rate.
Yeah.
So this is where, like, you know, as you underwrite properties, always take the underwriting with, like, a little bit of a grain of salt and realize, hey, it's going to be more likely a range. I don't think any property's ever come down to a dollar on a spreadsheet. Nor will ever. Eventually, we might get lucky on one of those. If we do 1,000 deals, one will. But overall, it's great to, like, run a conservative estimate, like you were saying, with the rents and expenses, an optimistic one, and then hopefully it should be somewhere in that range of, hey, we're going to be making $7,000 to $10,000 here in cash flow, and maybe a little bit more.
Yep.
And of course, with the way things are going in Springs, I mean, I would expect prices and rents to continue to appreciate down there, like we've been seeing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Jenny, great job on you and Leah for putting this deal together. I know team effort on your guys' part, so great job. I'd be very happy with this investment in, you know, the current market. So I think the investors are. So for people out there who have additional questions to property, reach out to Jenny or Leah. They can give you some more insight into that. But again, if you guys want to go out there and invest in properties or buy properties, you got to talk to Jenny. She knows the Springs market. She's getting to know the Pueblo market really well as well. We got some Pueblo podcasts coming out. So if any questions on investing, what to do with your game plan, you know, if you're shifting markets from Denver to Springs, reach out to Jenny and Leah because they are experts down there. So Jenny, great job and thank you.
Thanks, Chris.